Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to A History of Europe, Gibatos, Part 2 of 7, The Bohemian Revolt. Historians have debated long and hard what the 30 Years' War was about in essence. A struggle against the Habsburgs, general dynastic disputes, or a religious conflict. For sure, a large number of interlocking conflicts played into the war. All are agreed, however, on the trigger for the war, the famous defenestration of Prague of 1618 and the subsequent revolt in Bohemia against the Habsburgs. The Grand Chancellor of Bohemia since 1599 was Zdenko Lobkowicz, a member of one of the great aristocratic families and part of a powerful Catholic minority in the court. From the beginning, he did what he could to undermine the so-called Letter of Majesty, an agreement signed by Emperor Rudolf II to grant religious tolerance to both Protestant and Catholic citizens. Lobkowicz was part of a wider effort in Central Europe by Catholic leaders to reverse the tide of Protestantism, a movement known to history as the Counter-Reformation. Central to this was a religious order known as the Society of Jesus, whose members, the Jesuits, played an important role in trying to win back to Catholicism a number of European countries which had become predominantly Protestant. Around the turn of the 17th century, they were making good progress in placing more Catholics in positions of power, such as local councils and the clergy. However, their hardline policies were creating increasing tensions and alienated previously moderate Protestants. Under the rule of Holy Roman Emperors Rudolf II and Matthias, the movement lacked central leadership, with much disagreement among Catholics as to the best balance of militancy and toleration. Matthias was elected as emperor in the year 1612, his lands comprising numerous German principalities, as well as Austria, Hungary and Bohemia. He believed that the perpetual threat of the Ottoman Turks made it prudent to refrain too much from interfering with the privileges enjoyed by subjects for fear of revolt. He accepted, albeit with bad grace, the terms imposed upon him by the Letter of Majesty. Matthias was already an old man, and with no children, the Austrian Habsburgs chose to rally round Archduke Ferdinand of Styria as successor to the crowns of Bohemia, Hungary, and as emperor. The Calvinists of Bohemia, most notably a leading noble named Count Turn, resolved that the Bohemian throne being elected should not go to such an ardent Catholic. Lobkowicz, on the other hand, lobbied senior Protestant nobles and urged them to consider that the election of anyone other than the Habsburg was out of the question. And as Ferdinand's election was a foregone conclusion, it would be needlessly provocative to oppose it. Ferdinand promised to safeguard the rights of his subjects, including the Letter of Majesty. That at the same time, his Jesuit confidants quietly informed him he was not bound to commitments to heretics. Ferdinand's track record in his home duchy of Styria in Austria also suggested it unlikely he would support a policy of toleration. Matthias oversaw the vote in Prague, where Lobkowicz succeeded in getting the Bohemian nobles to agree to the candidacy of Ferdinand, and the day after, Count Thurn was deprived of his posts. Matthias left Bohemia to supervise a similar election in Hungary, leaving the Catholics with a majority in the Council of Regents. They were led by two noblemen, Martinitz and Slavata, who wasted no time in suppressing heresy, as they saw it, by questioning the legality of a number of Protestant churches. This decision triggered the Protestants to unite, and a series of public meetings demonstrated the unpopularity of the regents. On the 23rd of May, 1618, leaders of the Protestant nobles confronted Martinitz and Slavata at the Hradčany Castle in Prague to demand that the regents observe the Letter of Majesty. The ill-tempered meeting escalated into a brawl, in which the two regents and their secretary were thrown out the window into a ditch some 20 or so metres below. This action, known as the Defenestration of Prague, was a calculated gesture which deliberately harked back to a similar event in 1419, when seven Catholic councillors died after being thrown out through a window, an event which had then triggered the Hussite Wars described in the previous podcast. In 1618, the victim's fall was broken by a pile of rubbish and dirt, and astonishingly, none were seriously hurt. Catholics maintain the men were saved by angels or by the intercession of the Virgin Mary, while later Protestant pamphleteers asserted that they survived due to falling onto a dung heap. The Protestants proceeded to elect 36 directors to replace Matthias's regents. Some moderates hoped for reconciliation with the Habsburgs. However, 1 week before these events in Prague, Ferdinand had been elected king in Hungary. With his position there secured, was in no mood to compromise with rebels. Each individual had to choose which side they were on, while in the next few months the Bohemian Diet or Parliament set about imposing military control throughout the kingdom. An army was raised, and appeals sent to foreign powers to seek assistance. Matthias was too old and ill to take firm action, and Ferdinand lacked the necessary authority and resources to act on his own. Into the political vacuum stepped the Spanish ambassador in Vienna, named Iñigo Oñate, who, fearful of allowing Bohemia to fall into the hands of Protestants, took the decision to order troops to Austria from northern Italy and Flanders. Matthias's death in March 1619 transformed the political context. Ferdinand was the Habsburgs' preferred imperial candidate, and by virtue of being king of Bohemia, also possessed one of the seven electoral votes. He was easily the candidate in the strongest position, certain of support from the three archbishop electors. But there were also the three Protestants of Saxony, Brandenburg and the Palatinate, who had the right to vote. If they had exploited the revolt in Bohemia to put forward another candidate and denied Ferdinand's right to vote as King of Bohemia, then the long succession of Habsburg emperors might have been broken. John George of Saxony, however, disliked anything to do with Calvinism or rebellion, and so went along with supporting Ferdinand, who was thus duly elected Holy Roman Emperor on the 28th of August, 1619, with the title of Ferdinand II. Just 2 days previous, the Bohemian leaders, recognising the need for outside help, offered their throne to the young Elector Palatine, Frederick V, who was an ardent Calvinist. Frederick asked for support from his father-in-law, King James I of England, but the advice he was given was to decline the risky offer. The ruler of the Netherlands, Maurice of Nassau, on the other hand, was anxious to see the Habsburgs challenged throughout Europe and urged him to quickly accept the offer. With some encouragement from some Protestant princes, with the Bohemian crown temptingly on offer just across the frontier, Frederick accepted the offer, declaring, quote, "It is a divine calling which I must not disobey. My only end is to serve God and his church," end quote. Frederick's legal claim to the throne was quite weak, so everything depended on being able to defeat Ferdinand militarily and forcing him to surrender Bohemia in a legally binding treaty. He hoped for assistance from his Protestant allies, but it was much less forthcoming than he hoped. The Dutch offered no direct military help, and the German princes very little. In Austria, meanwhile, Protestant leaders were attempting to stir up a rebellion, and the Count of Thurn led an army from Bohemia to Vienna in May 1619. Ferdinand's own life was suddenly in danger, and he was only saved by the chance arrival of Spanish troops. The Bohemians had to return soon after, but meanwhile, the Prince of Transylvania, Bethlen Gabor, as a committed Protestant and enemy of the Habsburgs, agreed to help. Having triggered a revolt in Hungary, he led a combined Hungarian and Bohemian army towards Vienna. Panic gripped the population of Lower Austria as Bethlen's light cavalry crossed the Danube at Pressburg and advanced during late October. Refugees crowded into Vienna, while the rich fled to the Alps. Imperial troops torched the countryside around the capital so that it could not sustain the besieging army. Heavy rain made it worse for the Bethlen's troops. Within a few weeks, Bethlen was forced to withdraw when his neighbour to the north, King Sigismund III of Poland, a Catholic ally of the Habsburgs, took the opportunity to raid Transylvania. Ferdinand's position was still quite weak, and if Ferdinand and Bethlen Gabor could coordinate their campaigns, there seemed every possibility that the new emperor would lose the crowns of both Bohemia and Hungary. With the institutions of empire already paralysed by the political deadlock between Catholics and Protestants, and now rebellions on multiple fronts, he was unable to raise sufficient taxes and did not have a large army to hand in Austria. For a short period, it seemed that the hardline Protestant's dream of a central European confederacy against the Catholic Habsburg dynasty might just be fulfilled. Frederick's triumphal entry into Prague, however, belied a precarious situation. A timid and fatalistic individual, he failed to impress the Bohemian nobility, and while the Slav population were suspicious of the Germans who filled his court, the Lutherans were equally put off by his extreme Calvinist views. Most importantly, Frederick failed to bring with him expected allies. James I repudiated him for supporting rebels, while the Dutch, who would have liked to have helped, were in the midst of a domestic crisis which had brought the United Provinces to near civil war. Ferdinand II, in contrast, was able to rely on the support of more powerful allies than the Bohemians. The papacy could be counted on to back the Catholic dynasty and provide some financial assistance if required. Also, King Philip III of Spain was also persuaded to assist his Austrian brethren against the heretics. He sent millions of florins from Madrid to maintain the defence of Vienna and to help form an invasion force for Bohemia. He also ordered an offensive from Spanish Netherlands on the Lower Palatinate, where Frederick's communication lines were shown to be overextended. At this point, the members of the Protestant Union lost their nerve. Without material assistance from the Dutch or English, they dared not face the combined Spanish and Catholic League forces. By the Treaty of Ulm of July 1620, they declared their neutrality, provided their own territories were respected. Ferdinand's other main potential ally was Duke Maximilian of Bavaria, who had been the leader of the Catholic League until it was required to be dissolved a few years before. During the course of 1618, Maximilian was making careful preparations to quietly reform the League while ignoring Habsburg's pleas for help. By the time of a visit to Ferdinand to Munich in October 1619, Maximilian was in a strong negotiating position. His two main demands were to seek official confirmation for the refounding of the League, and secondly, the promise of concessions at the Palatinate's expense. Ferdinand, in dire need of military help, agreed to recognise the League and to offer Maximilian of Bavaria the territory of the Upper Palatinate, together with Frederick's electoral title. The other half of Frederick's lands, the Lower Palatinate, were provisionally reserved for Spain.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Maximilian, in return, agreed to send an army into Austria and Bohemia, first to shore up Ferdinand's authority in Upper and Lower Austria, and then to launch an attack on the Bohemian rebels. Frederick, meanwhile, had precious little time to consolidate his position in Prague. He was compelled to spend the first months of his time there preparing for war, for which he was obliged to impose extra taxes and forced loans on the population. These measures were naturally unpopular and provoked revolts which spread widely in the course of the year 1620. He hoped for support from fellow Protestant elector John George of Saxony. John George was, however, not inclined to endanger the Lutheran cause on behalf of a Calvinist rebel. Instead, he joined Ferdinand in return for the repayment of his war costs and the promise of acquiring territory in Lusatia and Silesia. By the summer of 1620, Ferdinand and his Catholic allies were in a position to launch a concerted offensive to defeat Frederick and the rebels. One of his armies, freed up from defending Vienna, moved to eject a Protestant army from Lower Austria. Maximilian, meanwhile, accompanies his main army of some 21,000 troops to link up with the imperial armies. The field commander was Count Tilly, an experienced mercenary soldier who had fought previously with the Spanish against the Dutch and with the Austrian Habsburgs against the Ottoman Turks in Hungary and Transylvania. Spain joined in by invading the Lower Palatinate, and at the same time, John George moved troops into Lusatia. In Lower Austria, Ferdinand successfully split the opposition by giving verbal assurance he would respect the religious privileges of individual nobles, provided they pay homage. A majority accepted his offer, but a significant minority fled across the border to Moravia. Remarkably, in spite of the Protestant majority among their inhabitants, the whole of Austria was recovered permanently for the Catholic Habsburgs without a single battle. The situation grew even worse for Frederick along the Rhine, where the Spanish were making rapid inroads into his home territory, where his German and Dutch allies failed to coordinate. And meanwhile, Maximilian's army arrived in Bohemia and linked up with an imperial army to reach a size of some 25,000 men. Maximilian and Tilly moved as fast as possible towards Prague, for they knew they had only a short period of time to force a battle before winter suspended operations and gave Frederick a reprieve. The Bohemians attempted to block them by setting up defensive positions, but the imperial army were able to bypass them and advance swiftly towards the capital. The main Protestant army, led by Christian of Anhalt and comprising about 30,000 soldiers, set up camp on White Mountain, actually a low plateau, today on the western outskirts of the city of Prague. The Protestants had little time to set up defensive works, but the nature of the terrain gave them a reasonably strong defensive position. Morale, however, was low, as the mercenaries had not been paid in months, and with winter approaching, the weather was cold and rainy. And so, the first major military engagement of the 30 Years' War was the Battle of White Mountain, which took place on the 8th of November, 1620. Thick morning fog obscured the combined Imperial Bavarian army as they marched uphill towards the enemy. In response, Christian of Anhalt sent two cavalry regiments down the slope to drive off the Imperial cavalry, who were protecting the flanks of the oncoming Italian infantry. The Count of Turns, an infantry regiment, then moved down to engage the enemy. For a brief moment, it looked as if the Protestants might snatch victory, but the Imperial cavalry and infantry both countered the attack and pushed back the Bohemians. A small group of Imperial cavalry began circling the Protestant forces, driving them to the middle of the battlefield. Within just an hour of the main action starting, the Protestants were in full retreat, many units pulling out of the line without even fighting. Their army was quickly destroyed and suffered some 4,000 casualties, when Imperial losses amounted to only about 700. No preparations had been made for the defence of the city of Prague. Indeed, the city closed its gates to prevent the entry of the routed Bohemian army. The following dawn, Frederick and his court fled to the town of Breslau. After an unsuccessful attempt to organise resistance in Silesia, he left first to Brandenburg and from there to the Netherlands. Because of the brevity of his reign in Bohemia, he was mockingly dismissed by his enemies as the Winter King. 47 leaders of the insurrection were put on trial, and 27 of them were executed in Prague's Old Town Square, their bodies left to rot on Charles Bridge as a warning. As a tribute to those killed, you can see today 27 crosses laid into the cobblestones in the square. Most of the Bohemian nobility went into exile soon after the Battle of White Mountain, and their properties were confiscated. Ferdinand, growing in confidence from the military victories, forbid the worship of the Protestants' faith and forced them to convert to Catholicism or to leave the country. The collapse of the Bohemian revolt was partly due to poor leadership from Frederick, who had squandered the early support he enjoyed, but also because the Protestants were shown to be hopelessly divided along religious, political and social lines. The new administration had failed to establish an effective way of financing the war, and more seriously, they had failed to persuade the mass of the people of the value of their cause. On the other hand, it can be argued that the outcome was determined less by local matters than the decisions of the great European powers. Ferdinand may well not have survived were it not for Spanish support, while the French, English and Dutch all declined to act. A rapprochement between Spain and France assured the neutrality of France during the crisis, while the coincidence of the Bohemian revolt with troubles in the United Dutch provinces, the so-called Arminian crisis, was unfortunate from the perspective of the Protestants. As the most active opponents of the Habsburgs, active support from the Dutch could have stiffened the support of the Protestant Union in support of Frederick, but it was not to be. As well as losing Bohemia, Frederick was fast losing grip on his home territories in the Palatinate. Even before the fall of Prague, King Philip III had ordered his local commander in the Spanish Netherlands, Ambrosio Spinola, to invade the Lower Palatinate. Spinola commenced his campaign in September and met little resistance. The next year, Maximilian of Bavaria, after his victories in Bohemia, was able to send troops to the Upper Palatinate, which he had successfully occupied. Frederick was offered leniency if he agreed to submit to the Emperor's authority, but he refused, and in January 1621 he was outlawed. Losing supporters by the hour, Frederick's retention of his lands in the Palatinate depended on the support of three small mercenary forces, but they were all defeated in the following 2 years. In February 1623, Frederick was formally deprived of his lands and electoral title. The electorate was conferred on Maximilian for his lifetime, with the possibility of restoration to Frederick's children on Maximilian's death. Frederick V died in 1632 at the age of 36, having lost virtually all his wealth as well as his lands as a result of his rash decision in 1619 to accept the offer of the Bohemian crown. The defeat of the Bohemian revolt was a catastrophe also for the local Protestants. With a dagger, Ferdinand publicly and ostentatiously ripped up the Letter of Majesty, which had hitherto protected their religious freedoms. And in May 1627, he declared Bohemia as a Catholic state. Protestant churches were ordered shut, and their worshippers given 6 months to accept the new ruling or be forced to leave. Jesuit colleges were established in major towns and placed in charge of the censorship of books. And the University of Prague was turned into a Catholic institution. In all of Bohemia, more than half the nobles had their estates confiscated, replaced by those who had faithfully supported the emperor. These confiscations hit the lesser nobles particularly hard. Many were ruined as they lost their property, often at the expense of already wealthy nobles who had their estates expanded. The kingdom was also given a new constitution, which made the Habsburgs hereditary rather than elective monarchs, gave the king sole authority over all civil servants in the country, and moved the main governmental office to Vienna. Also, German was made equal with Czech as the administrative language. The consequences of the outcome at White Mountain for the Bohemians were thus profound. Their lands were fused with those of the Austrian Habsburgs, royal powers expanded, and religious unity restored under Catholicism. My name is Carl Rylett, and you've been listening to A History of Europe Key Battles podcast. Next week, I continue the story of the 30 Years' War, which includes the invasion of Denmark into German lands. I hope you can join me. I'd like to finish again today with a little bit of music from the period. Today's piece is from the composer Orlando de Lazus, who was born in Mon in the Spanish Netherlands, but lived also in Mantua, Sicily, and then later Milan, and lived in the late 16th century. This piece is Suzanne un jour, a madrigal for five voices, and comes courtesy of the website museopen.org. I hope you enjoy it.